Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
This morning's lesson is on backsliding. For the past several weeks, I've been preaching a number of lessons that relate to first principles to emphasize how important it is to become a New Testament Christian. On Sunday evenings, we've been studying conversions from the book of Acts, and we've been seeing God's pattern revealed of how a person becomes a Christian. But after we think about that, there's also a place to study, to place emphasis upon our living a daily, faithful Christian life. You and I need to take some time occasionally to study what it means to be a faithful Christian and how to live that faithful Christian life. There remains a constant challenge for us to remain faithful. You and I need to be thinking every day, am I going to be faithful to the Lord today? Will I be faithful tomorrow? Will I continue to live this faithful life until I take my last breath? I'd like you to read with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning with verse 35. There the writer says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now my just will live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back into perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The writer of the book of Hebrews and that whole book was trying to encourage and persuade and exhort Christians, don't give up on your faith. Don't allow yourself to be drawn back into the world. Be faithful to the Lord your whole life. Now, what I would like for us to do in our lesson this morning is look at three very simple, very basic things. Number one, I'd like to explain what it means to be a backslider. That's a term that we use occasionally. It was used a lot more when I was a young fellow. We talked about, he's backslidden. He's gone back into the world. But we want to use that biblical term and see how it's used and what it means. Number two, as we look at ourselves individually, and we are to look at ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, try your own selves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Look at me. You look at yourself. Do I have any evidence of backsliding in my life? Now, you may not think so right now, but as we observe God's Word, is there any evidence of it? And then number three, evading being a backslider. There are things that you and I can do that will help us to remain faithful each and every day. So let's begin, first of all, with this idea. What does it mean to say that a person is a backslider? Again, that's a term that we may not use much, but the Bible does. In fact, the original word means a person who turns back or returns. Let's say, for instance, I decide I'm going to get my little truck and I'm going to drive to Manchester. And about the time I get to Morrison, I realize I've left something important here at the church building. And so I turn back and I return. Going back, that's what that original word means. What's significant, as we start looking through the Bible, we can see this illustrated. Like, for instance, in Psalm 78, verse 57. But they turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. As you go a little bit further and we look at Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 10, they have turned back to the iniquity of their forefathers who refused to hear my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. I want you to visualize in your mind, Brother Jeff read it from the first part of Hosea, here are the children of Israel. And God took them and brought them out of that Egyptian bondage. They crossed the Red Sea. They came to the foot of Mount Sinai. And there Moses goes up into the mount. And they knew that God was with them because God had brought a series of 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. God had parted the waters of the Red Sea, allowed them to go through on dry land, and then caused the waters to recede and to kill the Egyptians. They heard and they saw as they were at the foot of Mount Sinai the dark cloud over the mountain and the thundering of God's voice. And they said to Moses, "You go up, not us." Moses goes up to the top of Mount Sinai. And while he is up there, the people, after just a few short days, said, "Where is this Moses who led us out into this wilderness? We do not know where he is at or what has become of him." And so they go to Aaron and they say to Aaron, "Aaron, make us gods." And he says, "Break off the gold earrings." And he took them and he fashioned a golden calf. You see, the children of Israel returned to the iniquities of their forefathers. They remembered the gods which they had served there in Egypt, primarily the calf. And they returned to the iniquity. They turned back. That's the idea we have in mind. Or if we go to the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse with them for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness and having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having been washed to the wallowing in the mire." You see, turning back to something bad. That's what a backslider really is. Now, Jeremiah frequently used this word. In fact, every occurrence of the word backslider occurs in the book of Jeremiah with the exception of 4 times. And as we start looking at it, certainly we ought to see that how God used this word. He pictured Judah and Israel as having committed adultery. And I'm going to illustrate that as we look at this passage from chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. You come to chapter 31 and verse 22, and he's going to ask a question. How long are you going to stay there? When are you going to come to your senses? When are you going to realize how important it is to come back to God? And then Hosea will make a statement that makes it very clear that they have become accustomed to this. Let's look first of all at chapter 3, verses 6 through 9 of Jeremiah. The figure of an adulterer is not a beautiful one. In fact, it's a very ugly picture in the Bible. "The Lord also said to me in the days of Josiah the king, 'Have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot.' And I said, 'After that she had done these things, return to me.' But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Then the Lord saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah saw it and did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees." Let me give you the picture, first of all. Here's the northern kingdom, Israel. Here's the southern kingdom, Judah. And God had looked at them as wives of the Old Testament. And as you look at Israel, Israel, the northern kingdom, had gone and played the harlot. Adultery. And here God wanted Israel to come back. He begged Israel to come back, but Israel would not. And so God was finally forced to say, I'm going to give a certificate of divorce, and Israel is gone. Israel is no longer mine. Now here's Judah. Judah, as the treacherous sister, saw what had happened, knew what had happened with Israel, and she also has begun to play the harlot and committed adultery. Can you imagine? Here is a young man and a young woman. They fall in love. They want to commit their lives to one another. And they get married. Here they are as they're building their life together. And this young man says, "You know what? I had a girlfriend back in high school and I think I want to go back and be with her." And he leaves his beautiful new wife and he goes back and to that girlfriend he had in high school. His wife comes and pleads with him, "Let's work this out. Let's try to make this work." And he says, "No, I don't want to make it work." And for that reason, here he is committing a... That's Israel. Here is God looking at Judah and he's saying, "Don't leave me." But she committed adultery with stones and trees. That indicates it was idolatry. You see, that's the backsliding. As I go further to chapter 31 and verse 22, God says, "How long will you gad about, O backsliding daughter? How long will you continue to go and commit adultery here and here and here? You need to come back to me." And to the point where you get in Hosea 11 and verse 7, "My people are bent on backsliding from me." To the point where it becomes almost a character trait, bent on backsliding. As we go a little bit further, we have to ask the question, is there evidence in my life or is there evidence in your life that I may be starting to backslide? How do you become a backslider? What are the evidences of it? What are the things that show that that might be starting in my life? Well, it's really not that hard. In fact, the devil is very convincing through his servants. He's able to persuade us through some very crafty speech that we ought to go back to the old life that we used to live. Just get yourself free. Just like you may hear some friends who'd say, "I tell you what, if a woman did that to me, I'd dump her and go on and find me somebody else. I'd get myself free." Or maybe you hear some ladies talking to another lady who's married and say, "Oh, if he was treating me that way, I would get rid of him. I'd get myself free." The way the devil tries to persuade us to leave the Lord is to tempt, to allure, to attract us with this idea of freedom. Do you mean that you're going to spend every Sunday assembling together with people and give your money? Why don't you get yourself free where you can go out and you can have fun on Sundays? And you can spend your money anywhere you want to. That's the way the devil approaches it. As we'll see in 2 Peter chapter 2. Most do not just wake up one morning and say, "You know what, I'm going to quit church. I'm going to quit being a Christian." They slide into it. Backslider. They, as to use the term in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, they drift into it. You miss a service today, maybe you're not going to come to services tonight. Then no longer is Wednesday night very important. You just start dropping that off. And it gets where pretty soon it's just Sunday morning only, for worship only. And then, well, we don't have to go to church every Sunday, just occasionally. Those are some evidences of backsliding. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. From whom a person is overcome, by him is he also brought into bondage. They speak great, swelling words of emptiness. You see, they can talk a real good game. But he says, they themselves are bondservants or slaves of corruption. Hebrews 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to give, or we must give, the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Let me ask you, are you seeing any evidence of backsliding in your life? There are some specific things that signal a start to backsliding. Let's look and notice. One is self-confidence. Where I get to the point where I am more convinced that I know better than anybody else does. That I don't really need anybody to tell me what to do or how to live. I know well, perfectly well in and of myself. Number two, to believe a lie. Someone says, well, how can you believe a lie? We do that all the time. There are things that we may, if we ever investigated, would know they're false, but rather than investigate them, we just simply accept them as they are. And the Bible talks about people who believe lies, and they want to believe those lies. Then number three, and if you don't listen to anything else, if you've sort of started daydreaming and you tune me out, stop for just a second. One of the evidences of a backslider is a person who believes that he can still speak to God, he can still call on God while he's not living right. Let me carry through these scriptures and us investigate this. Proverbs 14, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. The backslider in heart thinks that everything he believes, everything that he reasons in his own mind, is just fine. The good man looks up to God and says, God, what is right? What do I need to do? Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not a man that walks to direct his own steps. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Whenever I become overconfident, confident in my ability, confident in my own thinking, my own reasoning, I'm in a very dangerous position. Number two, why has this people slidden back Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. They hold fast. They won't let go of deceitful things. Deceit is false. In 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, why? Because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. In order for us to be saved, we have to love the truth. Well, what ends up happening from this? And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These are people who believe lies. Why do they believe lies? Because they want to. And number three, what I mentioned earlier, going back to Hosea chapter 11 and verse 7, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt Him. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt Him. Bow your head in prayer. Call on God. and live like the devil. God will not listen to that. In fact, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 said, God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins, your iniquities have separated you from your God and He from His people. Listen very carefully, last part of verse 2. So that He will not hear. It's important that we understand we can't live any way we want to and expect God to answer our prayers for us to be able to call upon Him. Titus 1 and verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but by their works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now, number 3, evading. Whenever I think of the word evade, I think of trying to avoid something. Here's a person who's trying to evade the police. He's trying to get away from them. He's trying to avoid them. Well, I want to evade backsliding. I don't want to do that. And I've got to understand that God has a message that He keeps issuing. Return, 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 come back to me. The second thing I have to realize is that all along the way, and there is a way, there's a highway, all along that highway, God sets up signposts, landmarks, that says, go this way, go this way. And I need to make sure I keep my mind focused on those. And then number 3, one must remember why he became a child of God and what that means and look back to that. Let me give you a few of these points here. Jeremiah 3, verses 12, 14, and 22. Go proclaim these words toward the north, say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, says the Lord, and I will not remain angry forever. God said to Jeremiah, go to the people in the north, go to the northern tribes, say, return to me, please. I'll forgive you. Verse 14, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 22, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. What is God saying to them? Please, please come back. For me to avoid backsliding, I must continue to listen to God's plea. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Number 2 of that, going to Jeremiah 31, verses 21 and 22. Set up signposts. Make landmarks. Set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O Virgin of Israel. Turn back to these your cities. How long will you gad about, O backsliding daughter? Set up signposts, landmarks. Why do you suppose that the Department of Transportation puts up signs along the way that says Highway 70, Highway 55, Highway 56? Why do you suppose those signs are ever so often? I can tell you why. Because you may be like I was last Friday. I decided that I was going to go to the VA hospital to try to see if Brother Bill Biles was there. And I drove around and I turned on Highway 96 thinking that I was on the right road. And I drove looking for the sign and then I kept seeing these signs. I thought, this is not the right road. This is not the right road. Do you realize that that's what the Bible is there for? If I'm doing something wrong, if I'm committing all these sins, there's Galatians 5:19 through 21, There's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, that list a list of sins. And if I find myself doing it, I'm on the wrong road. On the other hand, the Bible tells us, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one road to be upon. The one that has the straitened gate and it has the narrow way. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, when speaking to the church at Ephesus, the Lord had looked at them and said, you've left your first love. Here's what He tells them to do. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Remember where you fell from. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, beginning with verse 5, he starts with the Christian graces and explains all the things that we ought to be adding to our lives. In verse 9, he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. It's like a person who's nearsighted. They can see something close up, but they can't see something far off. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Why did you become a Christian to start with? Those of you here this morning who are Christian, why did you become a Christian to start with? You say, because I understood that if I did not do what was right, I'd be lost. Now, I didn't want to go to hell. Well, then, are you still fearful and do you not want to go to hell? Why did you become a Christian? Because I understood Jesus died for my sins. I wanted my sins to be forgiven. Do you still want your sins to be forgiven? Remember from where you have fallen. One must realize that if I do backslide, it has some very serious consequences. Jeremiah 2 and verse 19, your own backslidings will correct you, and your backsliding, or your own wickedness will correct you, your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and a bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. It's an evil thing. It's a bitter thing. Well, what will that do? Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the transgressor, the way of the unfaithful, is hard. It's difficult. In Luke chapter 15, verses 14 through 17, we're all aware of the young prodigal who went into the far country after it all had been spent and famine came. It says that he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. I want you to understand, though the devil may use all sorts of things to entice us back into the world is not a very pleasant place. It's easy for one to backslide. It's easy for us just to gradually drift into a place where we're no longer faithful to the Lord. But the key is I don't have to stay there. If I wake up and today, in September, the first day of fall, 2007, I find myself, hey, I'm a backslider. I'm no longer faithful to the Lord. And I know that. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay there? In order for a person to turn things around, you have to be willing to do what the Bible shows us on several occasions. In fact, I almost changed the title of this lesson and changed the direction to, I have sinned. When I realize I'm not right, I've sinned. I want to end with a couple of verses from Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Do you know what? This morning, you can make a choice that you want to be faithful to the Lord. You don't have to be a backslider. If that's who you are, we're going to sing this song, Almost Persuaded. And what you need to do is, if you have public sin in your life and that's who you are, you need to come forward and say, brethren and sisters, I'm sorry for the direction I've gone. I'm sorry to God, and I want to be forgiven. And I know that God will forgive you because He's promised to do so. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, maybe you've been here the other weeks and we've been discussing what it takes to become a Christian, and today is the day that you've decided you want to obey the Lord,